up our head. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Yes, the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Up our heads, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we together we see, everyone see. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
This is a song I don't do very often because it's kind of tricky. It's got kind of a tricky rhythm to it and everything, and don't get a whole lot of chance to practice it. But it's on my heart tonight, and I know the reason it's on my heart. I know the reason why God's ministering it to me, and I believe it's the same reason why He wants to minister it to someone else tonight. I'm not a child of darkness, but a child of light. You know, I'm a product of the King. I'm a product of His grace. I used to walk according to the darkness. I used to like living in the darkness, because as long as I was living in the darkness, no one, you know, would see what was wrong. No one would see what needed fixed in my life. But when I started walking in the light of Jesus, started walking in the light as He is in the light, you know, started having fellowship with fellow Christians, you know, started seeing what God is doing in other people's lives, I started getting a hunger for that and started saying, I want that in my life. And so, because I started saying that, God started doing it. I started asking for it, God started doing it. God started doing it in my life. Started lighting up the darkness. And called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. So because of that, tonight, sin has lost its power. And death has lost its sting. And from the grave, He has risen victoriously. But not only from the grave has He risen victoriously, from the grave have we all risen victoriously tonight. Because that resurrection power is at work inside of us. You know, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And that cross will never ask for more. It will never ask for more. Y'all worship the Lord with me.
Sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting, and from the grave you risen victoriously. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way.
You are the way into marvelous light.
I'm so thankful for the way, the truth, and the life tonight, amen. In case you don't know, that's Jesus. If you want to know the way, the truth, and the life tonight, and you've not had that experience, then let us know. We want to introduce you to it. Hallelujah. You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, Lord, I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. You hold my every moment. You call my raging sea. You walk with me through nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you.
Believe that Jesus is your healer? Yes. Amen. He's your, my, all in all. Amen. We would have nothing. We would be nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of Him, you and I have life, and we have it more abundantly. Glory. He's had a work to do in each one of us. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we honor you, we magnify your name. We're so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful for the encouragement that we get with your hand coming upon us and your spirit coming up within us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that we have the ability to agree in prayer. And you said, where two agreed is touching any one thing, it shall be done. Father, we stand on your word and we thank you for it. We thank you for this opportunity tonight to be in your house. We know and we recognize, we understand clearly and concisely that this is no accident, that each one of us is here by divine appointment. And so we ask you right now, Father God, by the name of Jesus, that you open up each one of our hearts. Help us to be able to receive the engrafted word. Help us to move forward in your plan. Help us yield to your spirit in every way. And we're so thankful for this opportunity of people of like faith to worship you, to honor you, to serve you. And to be able to be forever changed by your presence, working in and through your body. Thank you, Lord, by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Lead us and guide us. We'll follow as you call out our name, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in our lives, God always has a plan for every situation in your life, in my life. But the devil has something he wants to do to stop God's plan. Amen? And what's on my heart, I just want to look at some Christian roadblocks. These are three things that was on my heart. I think that we can look at Scripture tonight to help us to move forward in every way. I want to say it's so glad to be in church with Bob and Patricia again. It's been a long time. I guess about 8 years. So, but anyway, hallelujah. I'm glad that you're here tonight. Very, very blessed for you to be here. I'm glad that everyone's here. So, I got a couple of images here. You know, it seems like in our life that the devil wants to detour us if he can. He wants to get you and I off the path. If not, he wants to tell us that we can't go where God would have us to go. But you can go where God tells you to go. Amen? You have a license. That license is the blood of Jesus, the unction of the Holy Ghost, the calling of the Spirit, your name, that still small voice. And it doesn't matter what the enemy would try to put in your way. You're going to finish your course and you're going to finish it with joy. Amen? And you're going to accomplish the will and the plan of God. Look at this next slide here. Sometimes this is the way we feel. We feel like that there is no way through, around, over, or under what is in our path. But you know what? You and I have the ability by the Word of God to speak to the mountain. We have the ability by the Word of God to speak to the situation. This is Brother Larry Whitby talked about this morning, and see some things change. Michael Jordan said this, obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it. Go through it or walk around it. There's always a way. Amen. Anytime that you and I seem to turn negative, that's because the enemy wants to take away the vision of the way. But there is always a way. Amen. One last slide and we'll get into our scripture. Right here tonight, we're going to be talking about three stumbling blocks in a Christian's life, three roadblocks that not only hurt you or hinder you, hurt me or hinder me, but they hinder those around us. And we need to ask ourselves tonight, how can I avoid causing others to stumble? Because 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, only be careful that this power, this is the Amplified version, only be careful that this power of choice, this permission and liberty to do as you please, which is yours, does not somehow become a hindrance, a cause of stumbling to the weak or over-scrupulous, giving them an impulse to sin. You know, Paul said, just because all things is permissible to me, he said, I'm not going to do it if it causes my brother or my sister to stumble. And so tonight, open up your Bibles, Old Testament, New Testament. I like to tie it together. Let's read the New Testament first, Romans chapter 14 and verse number 13. And then let's look in the Old Testament, Isaiah 57 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 first, and then Isaiah chapter 57, verse 14. When you're there, say amen. Amen. For sake of time, we'll hit the highlights. Look what it says here, Romans 14, 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. So it was a problem in the church at Rome. So it could be a problem in the church today. Amen. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, that no man, no woman, no boy, no girl put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Hold your place there. Isaiah 57, verse 14. Isaiah 57, verse 14. Says, cast ye up, cast ye up. This is your testimony. This is what you're supposed to say. Cast you up, cast you up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of the people. Now notice that. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of the people. Brother Donnie, would you pray for us? Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for praying. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, you and I tonight, we are the extended many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the ability to bring light to each other, to other people. We have the ability to strengthen other people the way that Christ has strengthened us. Amen? Amen. We have the ability, by the Spirit of God, to sow a word into them that will be a seed that will cause faith to rise and will bring the fruit out of their life that God has for them. And so we want to make sure that we recognize and realize that with this great responsibility, there is going to be a great hindrance. Come on, the greater the responsibility, the more the devil comes against you, against me, to try to stop the plan and the will of God out of our lives. And so what we want to do, we want to make sure that we don't allow the enemy to place any roadblock in our life. It happens subtly. Remember, Genesis chapter 3, it tells us that the serpent, Satan, was the most subtle beast of the field. So he, when he come and he talked to Eve and ultimately Adam, he talked to them in a very subtle way that would get them to receive a word rather than holding on to what God had gave them. Amen. So we know, we need to know that we're not immune, that what he once did, he will try to do again and again and again. So let's look at this tonight and let's think about it. Now, he said, in back in Romans 14, 13, he said, let no man, let no person, the last part of the verse, put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in the brother's way. That stumbling block simply means a stub, something sticking up that would cause somebody else to stumble. He said, an occasion. That occasion is a snare. A snare. Now, tonight, if you and I had time, each one of us, we could open up our hearts and we could share different ways the devil has placed a snare in our life. Different ways that he has hurt and hindered and put a block to what God would do in us and through us. And we're going to overcome all of that because we're going to take heed to the word. Amen? Now, I want us to notice something here. Go back to Isaiah 57 in verse number 14. I love this 57th chapter, and sometime we'll try to go through the whole chapter, but for tonight, I want you just to concentrate on that part. Your testimony, my testimony, what the Lord would have us to say is he says, cast ye up, cast ye up. Now, notice he says it twice. Now, all through the Word of God, where you got Jesus talking, and he says, Simon, Simon. When he makes a statement of double emphatic wording, he does it to get our attention and to show the importance. And here he says, cast you up, cast you up. This means that you and I are to build a turnpike. We're to build a highway for the Lord. Amen? We're to build a way for the truth to go through. We're to build a clear path for those who are following behind us. Now tonight, there's several of you in here. You have got a large thoroughfare behind you. You've been serving the Lord a long time. You've been walking with him hand in hand, and you have cleared a path. And you've made a way for people to come up out of the things that would stumble them and hinder them. And you've done exactly what the Lord said. You have cast you up. You have made this way, this road, this highway in and of the Lord to the plan and the will of God. But at the same time, we've got to be cautious because the enemy will put things in our lives that we don't even recognize and realize. Now, this is not set in stone, but this is the three things that the Lord laid on my heart for tonight. And so, it's, of course, it's just a starting point. It's not something that a full measure in any means. But the number one thing that the enemy does in people's lives to get them, to get me, in a place where there's a roadblock in our life, is to cause us to be unwilling. Now, you know, we don't like to hear that in the flesh. We don't like to hear that in our mind. But it is a fact, if we'll be honest with each other, because the Lord asks us to do different things at different times. And if it's outside of our comfort zone, if it's outside of the norm, then we feel uncomfortable about it. You know, there's comfort in conformity. There's comfort in being used to doing a certain thing, a certain time, a certain way. But God, he likes to jump out and do things completely different. Amen? So go with me. We're in Isaiah 57. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1, and let's see what the prophet warned about that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, aren't you thankful tonight? We need to keep each other stirred up that we're blood washed. I mean, everywhere we go, we need to have a smile on our face because we are blood bought. Amen? And just think, though my sin was black, the red blood of Jesus, though your sin was black, the red blood of Jesus washed you and made you white as snow. Oh, glory. We've got something to rejoice about. We've got free reign if we will stay in that avenue of truth. But notice what he says. Here's what happens over a period of time. You remember when you first got saved, you wanted to be at church every time the door was open? You didn't care what was going on. You wanted to be a part of it. And then slowly but surely over a period of time, that excitement, that anticipation, that confidence that something was going to happen turned into, well, this is Wednesday night. Nothing ever happens on Wednesday night. I probably won't miss anything. So, you know, I really need to do this and I really need to do that. You know, we go through all of these things. And what we don't recognize is that long thoroughfare that we, through the Lord, have created with people following us. They're looking and they're setting their parameters, their guidelines, by what you do and what you don't do. By what I do and what I don't do. And all of a sudden, they forget what the Word says because they got a love and an affection and a respect for you. And they say, well, brother, so, sister so-and-so. And we're getting somewhere. Verse number 19. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. Now, this hit really, I'm going to be honest with you, because this hit me really hard when I was studying this. You know, we could obey the Lord and miss out on the blessing. Because he said, if you be willing and obedient. So unwillingness can be a stumbling block. It can be a roadblock to the blessing of the Lord. The Lord was dealt with me very tenderly, but very strongly about being willing to do what he wants to do in this church. You know, obediently, yes, we come. Willingly, no. And there's still some things that I'm having to come to him and tell him, Lord, you know my heart. I love you. I'm not really willing to do it, but I'll obey you by faith, and you help me with the willing part. Now, see, honesty is the best policy. Because if we're not careful, we talk to people, and they think, boy, that person, they just got it made. They've got it all figured out, and they're just walking 10 foot higher than everybody else. Let me tell you, you don't put anybody on a pedestal but Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one. He's the one that doesn't make mistakes. He's the one that knows what he's doing. But I want you, I want me to be blessed completely. And he said the way that we were blessed completely, that we become willing with obedience. Now notice what he says, verse number 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. That's the word of the Lord. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So it's very important that you and I take heed to this and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do that I'm not doing? Or what am I doing that maybe I need to allow your spirit to make just a little attitude adjustment in my life? Because I want to walk in a place that I don't have to worry about stumbling. I want to lead somebody in a place that they can walk with their eyes closed and their mind on Jesus, and they don't have to worry. Amen? That's what we've got to do as the body of Christ. Amen? We've got to get to a place where we allow the Lord. You need to know who you are. And you need to stand up and say, thank God that he's chosen me to plow out a path for the Lord. The Lord always goes before us. But you and I have to what? We have to follow him. We have to walk in that. Now, he said, if you be willing, this word willing, it doesn't mean what I thought it meant until I studied it out. It means to breathe after. To breathe after. In the word, the very breath that you take in, as much as you have to have that to stay alive, that's the same thing spiritually the Lord is looking for us. He's looking for us to breathe after His will and His plan. Now, let's go where the word is used in another scripture to help us to understand it. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. This will help us understand the same word. It's Abba in the Hebrew. But look what it says. My son, my daughter, no gender intended, if sinners entice thee, consent thee not. That word consent is the same word translated willing over in the Isaiah 1, 19. So, consent thee not. Don't breathe after it. Don't let the world get your breath. Don't let it be your source. Don't let it be anything about you. He said, my child, if sinners entice thee, the world is full of sin. The Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season. I'm sorry, I don't know about you, but there were some things I really enjoyed doing for a season. So what we want to do is we want to recognize that the enemy can put some things in our life that would stumble us, and we might not even recognize it, might not even realize it. You see, the devil wants to get in the church. It's not enough. He loves to come and sit on the church pew, in the church chair. He loves that. But he wants more than that. He wants to get in the church. Say, I'm the church. I'm the church. Yeah. He wants to get in our mind. He wants to get in our action. He wants to get in our words. Because he wants to use us to bring division where God said, through Jesus Christ, you and I, we bring unity. Amen? Amen. Glory. Now, look at verse number 30. It's the same word. Proverbs 1 and 30. They would. Mark wood down. Wood is the same. It's that Abba that was translated willing. They would none of my counsel. This is the Lord talking. He said, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. So they wouldn't breathe after the things of God. So if you and I are going to be willing and obedient, we've got to breathe after the reproof of God. We've got to want God to correct us. You know, today, if we're not careful, we get all upset if somebody corrects us. If somebody corrects me on the unction of the Holy Spirit, I want it, don't you? Now, I want him to be able to talk to me, but if for some reason I can't hear him because I'm not listening, I want him to love me enough that he said he would bring a word of correction, a word of instruction, a word of exhortation, a word that would be truth, that would bring freedom to my life. Amen? So we want to be in a place, in a position where we see that we want to be willing. Not just obedient, but willing. We're breathing after the things of God. Do you realize tonight that when God took you and he breathed in you the breath of life and you become, quote unquote, what the Bible says, a living soul, better said, a complete being, spirit, soul, and body. That breath that went in you, it placed God's gifts. It placed God's call. It placed everything in you. And when man failed and we fell to the temptation and sin, that nature become revealed to us and we become awakened to it, all of a sudden then there was a struggle. There was a battle. And so to keep the roadblock out of our life, we got to say, listen, God, this is the way I feel. But I don't want to go by the way I feel because I know that the just shall live by faith. Old Testament, New Testament. We live by faith. And so I want to go in what you say. And we get the feelings out of the way. See, willingness is not a feeling. You can be willing and your body is screaming no all the way. Your mind is screaming no all the way. But your spirit is saying, yes, Lord. Because breath is spirit. Amen? Everywhere you see spirit, it's pneuma in the New Testament. ruach in the Old Testament, but that's what it means. It means breath, breath. And so that breath of willingness, just breathe in the will of God, and all of a sudden it changes everything. All right, quickly. Number two, I think that the biggest roadblock in the Christian church today, after you get past the unwillingness, is one that we don't like to talk about, but it's unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Let's look at that. Matthew 6:14-15, Sister Tori. Out of the mouth of Jesus, you know, red letter, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to read the red, like Charles Capp says, read the red and do what he said. Amen? We won't have no failure. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What a promise. See, we think if we're not careful, we allow the devil to convince us that, hey, it's all right to hold a little thing in our heart because, you know, I'm doing them a favor. I ain't talking about them. And when I'm around them, I smile. But in here, we got a war going on. Amen? That's a stumbling block. Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a serious thing. You talk to people all the time. I do. And I'm sure you do too. And they'll say, well, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they done to me. No, I don't. But we've all had things done to us. We've all had things said to us. They said that Jesus had a devil. The Son of God. His own people. They pulled his beard out by clunks. They punched him in the face. Isaiah 52 says they marred his body to the point that it was marred like no other body in human history. Yet Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, once again, this is not a feeling. We think that I got to feel like I need to forgive them, or I got to feel good about forgiving them. Or the devil will say, well, you can't forgive them because that's going to give them the place of being right. No, it puts you in the place of being right. Amen. Yeah. It sets you free. It sets me free. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. I want you to get excited about the power of the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Look at this word. Forbearing one another. If he'd stopped there, we could have done that easily. But he didn't stop there. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Glory. Now that don't discourage me. That excites me. As Christ did, I can do. As Christ did, you can do because Christ lives in me. He lives in you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And it's all by love. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now think about that. Because Christ is in you, Christ is in me, and for God so loved the world. Now I can be forgiven because God loved me enough to send Jesus. And as we talk about all the time, Romans 5:5, the love of God, second half of the verse, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. You and I tonight, we're in the place and the position to being able to forgive because of the love of God. And so that seed of Christ forgiving you, that seed of Christ forgiving me is in us, and we don't have to have a stumbling block. We don't have to walk the other way down the Walmart aisle. Now, that's a big thing for me. May not be for you. Come on now. I'm being honest with you. Some people, I'd walk the other way. I didn't care if I ever saw them. But the love of God can change your attitude, can change your action, and can put your heart where their heart is. And all of a sudden, instead of being concerned about what something might have been said or something might have been done, you're concerned about what their destiny is. You're concerned about their everyday walk. And then you recognize and realize, hey, Jesus told me to cast up, make a thoroughfare, make a turnpike. I can make a way for somebody by the Spirit of God that's easier for them. Oh, glory. Because Christ counted you, counted me worthy to be able to do that. Amen? That's what it's all about. We want to be in the place where we see that the forgiveness of God is so powerful. It's the most powerful thing in the universe. Because through Christ, you're in right standing. I'm in right standing. Amen? And because that stumbling block was taken out of our life of this sin, that sin, all the unforgiven things in our life, and that you are, I am, justified, just as if we'd never sinned, then that's what we want to be able to be used by the Lord to help in that situation. Amen? See, the greatest thing the church can do now, right? There's such a separation between the world and the church, because if you look at Facebook posts, I don't, but Donna does. If you look at different stuff online, you see this great divide between the church and the world. And that great divide is because they think that the church is judging them. They think that the church is hypocrites because they're saying one thing and doing something else. But you and I, we're going to be a group of people who love the Lord and do what He said to do. Move these roadblocks. Amen? Now, you got to see in the Spirit. You've got to, when you pray, you've got to close your eyes and you've got to thank the Lord that I can forgive as Christ forgave. You've got to see yourself literally moving, like I showed you that big boulder, moving it out of the path of people. And if you'll see that in the Spirit, all of a sudden, it'll be manifested in your world, in your life. Amen? Glory. Now, we've got to believe it. Now, Jesus, going back to Matthew chapter 5, we read verses 14 and 15. I want you to look what he said in verse 16. Most of you could quote it. But he talks about fasting. And notice what he says here. He said, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." This is what the world is talking about. They think that the church is hypocritical because they think that they're appearing to the world one way, but they're trying to talk another way. So this is so important for you and I to get these roadblocks out of the way. There's going to be people, I believe with all in my heart, before the coming of the Lord, that are going to start coming to Christians. And some of them will come to the church, but most of them is going to come to Christians. And they're going to look to you. They're going to look to me to move things out of their way. And you've got to have the confidence in your relationship with Jesus that greater is He that is in you than He's in the world, that you can do it. And all He's looking for is somebody who's willing. Amen? And you know that you're going to be obedient, right? And so if you can see that, you're going to, these roadblocks is going to be out of your life. You're going to have more freedom, more victory, but you're going to be able to bring that same freedom and victory to others. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the third point in case you're wondering what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out what it is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Unwillingness, unforgiveness. Unbelief. That stops everything. Amen. Now we're going to figure out by the Word of God how to take care of all of these. All right, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Jesus is teaching in this chapter. Now, starting in verse number 18. Matthew 21, 18. It says, "Now in the morning, as he, Jesus, returned to the city, he hungered." You know this story very well. Verse 19, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." Notice the power of the words of Jesus. Now, we look at this so many times and we look at it as the negative connotation because we look at it as the nation of Israel rejecting the Messiah and thus bringing the curse on them. And we know that the curse is heavy because look what has happened the past 2,000 years since the crucifixion of Christ. And we know that all of that is getting them ready where they will call on the Messiah and they'll come to him. But I want you to look at this for you and I tonight as a part of the blood-bought church. Now, he said, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever, and presently the fig tree withered away." Now, that's the power of his words, but it's also the paradigm that you and I, the Christian, need to be walking in and working in. Amen? Because notice what happens. Verse 20. "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon the fig tree withered away." Now think about this. The fig tree was supposed to be fruitful. And we could get into a lot of doctrinal debate there from the other Gospels, but you just stay concentrated on this right now. See, Jesus said that you and I would not only bear fruit, but we would bear much fruit, and that our fruit, John 15, our fruit would remain. Amen? And so we are to be fruitful, and part of that fruitfulness is to be able to clear this pathway for people. And we're going to learn how to do it by our words. Verse 21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith." How many people we got that's got faith? Raise your hand to heaven and say, "Lord, I have faith."
Lord, I have faith.
Oh, glory. Amen. Now see, faith is the opposite of unbelief. Unbelief is a stumbling block. Unbelief will separate me from God's best, from God's promises. Now, we can believe and be saved and go to heaven and miss out on God's best. We can struggle through this life. We can fight in different ways that we shouldn't have to fight. We can struggle in different ways we shouldn't have to struggle, or we can come into all the promises of God. But I've got to believe them, and then I've got to say what God would have me to say. That's what Brother Larry was talking about this morning. Now notice what he says. "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and what?
Doubt
not." Unbelief, doubt, will destroy the plan of God in your life, in my life. It will be a stumbling block. See, we all struggle. Was that God or was that me? Was that God, or could it have been the devil? Come on, you know. But we got to stand on the Word. Jesus said, "My sheep, they what? They hear my voice. I call them by name, and another they won't listen to." You know the voice of the Lord. Amen. I know the voice of the Lord. And we got to stand strong in that. We got to believe that. Now notice what he said. He said, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, You shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it might be done. Now remember that big boulder that we saw. If we'll be honest with God, and if we've got something on our thoroughfare, our turnpike like that, and we'll say, God, I see it. Now, would you help me to speak what you would have in my life? And you speak to it. See, we keep asking God to do something. When Jesus done it all, he's waiting on you and I to follow his example. We can pray and pray and pray about certain things and die and miss out what God would have for us. So let's don't do that. Let's do what Jesus said to do. Amen. Let's be willing, and let's be in the place of walking in forgiveness, and let's be in the place of being faithful. Faithful enough. See, if you really believe something, you'll act on it. Amen? If I really believe something, I'll act on it. Now, he said, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. This word doubt means to withdraw and to oppose yourself. Remember what 2 Timothy 2:25 says? That there was a group of people that Paul said they opposed themselves and they were hung in the snare of the devil. I see that can happen to us. And that snare can be a stumbling block. It can be a roadblock. So we've got to see what Jesus said now. You're walking with me, right? Because we're getting to the end. Notice what he said. Now, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if ye say unto this mountain. Didn't say anything about you praying to Jesus. It said you. See, you've been given the name of Jesus. I've been given the name of Jesus, the name above all other names. The Bible says that everything has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? And so, if you and I exercise this authority, we can move these mountains, we can move these things out of our lives, out of our families' lives, out of those that we have authority over. He said, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. We've got to learn to do what Jesus said to do. Now, there's people, there's family members that we've got, there's friends that we've got. We love them with all their heart, but God loves them more. They can't ever quite seem to come to the relationship with Jesus that they need for success. There's a mountain in their way. There's a roadblock in their way. There's a stumbling block in their way. But guess what? You've been authorized, deputized. You've been placed in their life to be able to help them. Now, Jesus is talking to the fig tree because this fig tree is representing that what should be fruitful in feeding people was of no use to them. That means that you have an authority to speak to some things in people in your realm under your influence and cast it out of their life. Now, you can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. And we can't go beyond a person's will. But we can give them a chance. Because that's what 2 Timothy 2:25? That's what that's about. It's about exercising the authority because they're being opposed. They're in a snare. And you can give them a chance to recover. Yes, you can give them a chance to recover themselves out of that snare. That's your realm of authority. That's my realm of authority. Okay. One last verse, verse 22. And some things, that's got to be wrong. Then why do we pray like it's wrong? And it needs to be cast out. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask, Notice the emphasis is on you and me in this whole text. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye might receive. Now, you know what that word receive? That word receive, I believe the Greek word is, it's either lambano or prolambano, and it means that you have to reach out and you have to take it by faith. Now, we got scripture all through the New Testament. What happened? The leper come to Jesus, and he said, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will. What did he do? He took his healing. The man who Jesus washed his eyes in the spittle, and he went seeing. The 10 lepers touched those. They went, and as they went, they were healed. Action. See, faith is an action. It's not just hoping. I've prayed with people. I know that you have too. And you felt the anointing of God. It was so powerful. And you want to pull a testimony out of them. Because the testimony is what causes us to overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you say, you try to pull something out of them. And you say, did you feel that anointing? Did you get what you prayed for? And they say, I sure hope so. We're back to square one. Has nothing to do with hope. Nothing to do with hope. It has everything to do with what you believe. Amen? So we got to get these stumbling blocks out of the way. So what we're going to do tonight, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray. We're going to find us an altar, and we're going to pray. And we're going to be honest with the Lord. And we're going to ask Him, Lord, I want you to show me if there's anything in my life that's a stumbling block, if there's anything that's a roadblock, because God's got a goal for you. God's got a goal for me. God's got a plan. And you and I, we want to be able to do like the Apostle Paul. When we know it's time for us to be offered up, he was poured out as a drink offering. Amen? When it was time for him to be offered up, he made this statement. He said that I have fulfilled my course, is what he said in the Greek. He said, I have finished the race that was laid out there before me. I've done what God called me to do. And see, we think that is so mystical and so far out. No, tonight, you and I, we can go and take our last breath and know that we're going to hear these words, well done. Because that's who you are. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We ask that faith come right now, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Lord, we're willing to admit that we are a work in progress, that we are climbing the ladder of sanctification, that we're on our way to being perfect as our Father in His heaven is perfect. But we ask that you would touch us tonight, and show us immediately the imminent thing, the first thing, the foremost thing that we need to deal with in our own life, that we will have freedom and liberty and victory to be able to do more of what you called us to do and to do it with joy. Help us to see that it's not anything about feelings, but it's all about faith. We'll be quick to praise you and testify of your goodness and your grace. Lord, let every roadblock. A roadblock is something, Lord, you have showed us in your word, something to impede progress. Right now, there's some things that has been forgotten because it's been so long. I ask for the Spirit of God that you would reiterate, that you would shine a light on those things that's been long forgotten, those desires that you placed in our heart. And help us to see, as long as we've got breath in our body, it's not too late. You do what only you can do, and we'll yield and respond in Jesus' mighty name. Would you come? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am tonight. I'm so thankful to be washed in your blood that though my sin was black, it's white as snow now. And I want to be willing and obedient. I want to eat the good of the land in everything of my life. That means I want to have the best that you would have for me personally, intimately, because you are my shepherd. If you'll tell him that, he'll bring a vision to you. He'll bring an understanding to you. And he'll give you an unction and anointing to speak to whatever is limiting and hindering you. And remember, it's not just for you. It's for all of those who are following after you, following after me. Hallelujah.